My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. That's the organization dedicated to recruiting and helping to elect conservative candidates to office, with an emphasis, obviously, on the U.S. Senate. The Senate Conservatives Fund has drawn the ire of Republican Party leaders since the group has recruited and endorsed challengers to incumbent Republicans. It is now entering the debate among the party over how to address President Obama's unilateral action on immigration. A majority of Republicans in Congress believes that fight is best left until the GOP controls both the House and Senate next year, while Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee forced a vote on the issue prior to the Cromnibus spending bill passing the Senate Saturday night. Many in the party condemn Cruz and Lee for launching a fight. They say they couldn't win, but while the Senate Conservatives Fund and others say Cruz, Lee, and the 20 other Republicans who supported their vote are the true conservatives, and the rest of the GOP conference is just going along to get along. And Mr. Cuccinelli, thanks as always for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure.
The complaint from Republican critics of Cruz and Lee is that they not only forced members back to work on a weekend to push an argument they don't think they have had a chance to win, but in the process gave outgoing Majority Leader Harry Reid the chance to move forward on some very controversial nominations that would have otherwise fizzled. What do you say to the argument that they ended up doing more harm?
Well, that's a canard, and the people making it know it. Reid had every intention of pushing the nominees that he moved forward because he had to fill the clock. This week, right now, literally right now at this moment while you and I are talking, was the original plan for Reid. That wasn't going anywhere, and that didn't change. He just changed where on the schedule he did that. But the notion that one shouldn't fight for the constitutionality or to protect the Constitution in the acts of Congress is pretty appalling. And God forbid we make them do it on a Saturday and stay late. That was really childish and sort of disgusting to watch. What was even more disgusting is the 20 Republicans who didn't vote with Ted Cruz to declare the president's executive amnesty unconstitutional, even though in the last 6 weeks they've all said it is. And Heritage Action's done a good job of compiling their statements to that effect, and yet they voted the other way, probably because they were upset about being dragged in on a Saturday.
Mr. Cuccinelli, how big of a statement is that particular vote? Because it looks like Senators Conservatives Fund and others are saying, here's your real conservatives, here's your pretend conservatives. Is that how critical that vote was?
Well, certainly for those of us who care about the Constitution, that vote looms large. For people who just cared about whether the bill passed or not, it was a speed bump on the way. Part of the problem with our governmental system at this point is that there doesn't seem to be quite so much concern about whether something is constitutional or not. And the founders would be appalled with that attitude. So it's good to put people on the record. I do not think this was a wasteful exercise. I think it was an important exercise. And unfortunately, the Republicans didn't band together to force the Democrats to actually vote on the underlying issue, and that is the funding of the president's executive amnesty. A lot of people said, well, there's no way the Republicans could win that. I don't believe that. If Democrats actually had to go on the board on that issue explicitly and exclusively, a lot of Democrats would have been in very difficult political territory.
Groups like yours are often accused of demanding more from Republicans than Republicans say can be reasonably expected, given that there's a Democratic president and until the end of this year, a Democratic Senate. What do you say in response to that?
Well, look at what they did. Look at what Republicans did. They let Harry Reid set the budget for a year, most of which time he will not be the majority leader. They gave him control of the federal budget, over $1 trillion of the federal budget, for the better part of a year when he will not be the majority leader. I think that speaks for itself. There is, unfortunately, in this country, a cabal of the leadership of both parties that doesn't really care about the little guy, doesn't care about the middle class. You know, it's interesting to watch Elizabeth Warren fight over a banking provision where the taxpayers are now on the hook for derivative trades of big banks. Well, nobody who cares about individual taxpayers and individual Americans should actually disagree with Elizabeth Warren. She was right. But it's more of the corporatist mentality and the establishment leadership of both parties that brushed aside concerns like that. And so it isn't just conservatives. And she was willing to shut the government down just as much as the conservatives who wanted to attack the executive amnesty funding. So, you know, we're not alone in this. I think when you've got a principle, you've got to protect the principle. The founding fathers would have it no other way.
We're talking with former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He's now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. And Mr. Cuccinelli, for the past several years, especially since Republicans gained control of the House, we've heard a lot from Republican leaders of, well, we'd love to do more, but we can't as long as the Democrats control the Senate. Well, that changes in early January. So what are your new expectations for a Congress controlled entirely by Republicans? Are there specific results on specific issues you expect to see, or is it more of a general approach to governing?
Yeah, let's take a straightforward one, Obamacare. Republicans have voted on it some 40-some-odd times in the House to repeal it, and the senators have all said, oh, well, you know, we can't get to that. Well, now they can. They can do it the same way the Dems did, and that's with 51 votes. So they're at least going to have to deliver to the president a complete repeal of Obamacare, which they all campaigned on, and watch what the president does. I mean, the notion that we're going to do the president's bidding for him, we're not going to send him bills he doesn't like because he might veto them, is ludicrous. It literally abandons one's own voice in the process. So if that's the case, what did we vote for on November 4th?
What about heading into 2016? It's not only a major congressional year, of course, like it is every 2 years, but it's also a presidential year. It's now going to be, by that time, 8 years since Republicans controlled the White House. How big of a party divide do you expect over the eventual nominee?
You know, I don't really expect any more than any other year. This is always a contest. I think it's going to be very important for conservatives to rally behind a single candidate before Iowa so that we don't dilute our strength and end up with an establishment non-conservative. In my lifetime, and I was born after Barry Goldwater, 100% of Republican nominees for president who ran as conservatives won, 100%. And 100% of the Republican nominees for president who ran as not conservatives lost, 100%. The most electable candidate is a movement conservative. And we're going to have the best field of conservatives since 1984. There's a lot for Republicans to be optimistic about there. I think we're going to have a lot of pain from our own people here in the next 2 years. But a third of the Senate is up, including a lot of Republicans, and we'll see how things look when we get there.
And, of course, you'll have Senate seats, a third of them up in 2016 as well. Republicans playing more defense than offense this time around. What will you be looking for from the record of this upcoming Senate, as well as any seats that are already on your radar screen that you think will be a good chance for a conservative to win?
Well, we really take the whole slate and we whittle them down. The ones that are impossible for conservatives, you know, something like pick the extremes, New York, or you know, pick California, something like that. Those aren't places we're looking. But anywhere else where a conservative would have a shot to win in the general election, we'll take a look at whether there's a Democrat in that seat now or a Republican. We look at their voting records, and that's a big part of the motivation for our members about where to invest their money.
And right on your homepage, you talk about how the Senate Conservatives Fund had a pretty good year in 2014. It's obviously a very good year for the Republicans, but your candidates in particular, maybe not so much in the primaries, especially on the Senate side, but there's a number of prominent names that are coming to Washington with help from you guys, correct?
Well, that's absolutely right. We were with Joni Ernst all along, and Tom Cotton there in the fall for his race, and Ben Sasse, who was one of the biggest primary fights we were in, I guess, along with Iowa. And you're right, we didn't win in Mississippi, for instance. That was a pretty dirty play there by the NRSC, and that'll linger on for a long, long time. But we get behind quality candidates. We'd unseated one incumbent in the House. We supported John Ratcliffe in doing that in Texas against Congressman Hall, and he succeeded in unseating him. So, and of course, we supported him through the general along with Barry Loudermilk. Alex Mooney is a solid conservative coming from West Virginia. We supported in his primary also in the House. And then Dave Bratt, we were in the general election, we were his largest supporter financially. So we've got some good folks coming, and we take the long view of this, and especially as it relates to the Senate. One senator can make a big difference if they want to try. And as our first half of our conversation about Ted Cruz on Saturday demonstrates, Mike Lee, the best of the best there, who's up in 2016. We've already come out in support of him. He's the only race we've gotten in so far in 2016. We think he's a superstar, and we want to keep him there. And the people of Utah clearly would like to keep him there.
Well, certainly a lot on the agenda, both in terms of policy and politics. Mr. Cuccinelli, always great to talk to you. Thanks for your time again.
Greg, my pleasure. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas to you. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.